Hey, what's good, bro? I was just checking in with you.
What's good, bro? Checking in again. Another week. How you feeling?
Man, it's been a crazy week so far. But it's Black History Month, so we lit.
Yeah. Top of the year. You know, we didn't got through that first month. It was a long one. But we got through that bitch.
Thought it was just me.
It was a long one.
Why is January so long though?
I don't even know if it's January, bro. I just felt like this January specifically was just long as hell. Like, took forever to end. The weeks felt like, I'm like, damn, we still in the first, second week. Like, what the hell?
I think it was like 4.5 weeks, bro, because it literally started on a Sunday. So I think it ran through like a full like 4 weeks. And then we just went through that half, which, I mean, I guess is relatively common, but I don't know. Something about it felt off. I don't know what they put in January 2023, but it was acting mighty different. I don't know.
No, for sure. I feel that. And then shit, February gonna end fast as hell because it's only 28 days. It's starting on a Wednesday. All right.
Still racist. I don't care what anybody say. I don't know, for sure.
You know, we know what it is though, bro. We already know what it is. But shit, bro, like stepping into a new year, bro. We getting another year older. Well, shit, you already hit that young 27.
That's 27, boy.
Yeah, that 27. 27 is crazy.
Man, bro, it was crazy because, like, it ain't even about, like, it's not about feeling older per se. Like, it's not like I feel older necessarily. It's just like, I will say shit get more real, but I feel like shit been getting real for a really long time. So it ain't just that. But I don't know. I think it's more like, I think 26 to 27 might have been the first year I feel like I saw my perspective on a lot of aspects of life, like, really change. Like, and just start thinking about, not even, man, it's kind of hard to put into words, but I just start thinking about everything differently in the sense of, like, okay, long term, what does this mean? But also, like, in the right now, like, what can I be doing differently? Like, what, the way I'm thinking, the way I'm moving, like, how can all that change, whether it's for the immediate future or whether it's down the road? I think I was talking to somebody like a month before my birthday, and I was like, the crazy thing about 27 is I just keep thinking how close it is to 30. And not that 30 is like, I don't think 30 is scary. Like, as I'm looking ahead, like, 30 isn't scary by any means. I just think it's another threshold where it's like, yeah, you should probably have a few things together about 30. You should probably have a few things in place once you get to that point. I mean, granted, everybody's timeline look different, but you start to have those thoughts of like, I don't want to be 30 and not have this, or I don't want to be 30 and not have this in place, or not have something going, or not be on a certain trajectory. So that aspect of it, but yeah, for sure. I know you a couple months away, but has 26 been that year for you where you started having those thoughts, or do you just feel like you starting to kind of look at 30 in the same way?
I mean, we kind of had a similar conversation before. We didn't do it on camera, of course, right. But
yeah,
we kind of had a similar conversation before, bro, like about 25 and how much of a journey 25 is. I feel like after you kind of go through that journey of 25 and like, you realize a lot of things in 26. So 26, you kind of really coming into your own. I feel like 27 is like the succession of 26. Of course, it's easy to say that in like the literal sense because it's the older age. But at the same time, it's like, bro, like 26, I feel like I found myself in 26. Like, I'm completely secure within myself at 26 years old. I completely know who I am. You get what I'm saying? Like, whether that's good or bad, I know my good aspects, I know my bad aspects, I know the things that I need to work on, I know the things that I am working on. I'm a completely self-aware of what's going on with me. You know what I'm saying? At 26, I know where I have made mistakes. I know where I have grown. I know I'm not the same person I was at 18 years old. And I'm glad to not be that same man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm glad to be able to turn down certain things or just not be interested in certain things. It's like, that's what I feel like 26 is. Now I'm looking forward to 27, which, you know, I only got three more months. So I'm looking hella forward to that because I feel like 27 is where you take all the things that you learned in 26. And yeah, you might already be applying some of the things, but it's when things start to take off. Like, we planted the seed for this and at 25 for real.
Yeah.
But 26, we started and it was like at a stall, but look at us now. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yeah, we actually getting it done. We actually putting it out. We actually promoting it. We actually going through with it. So that's how I feel. Like, I feel like in life, that's where I'm at. Like, all right, bro. Like, a lot of things were said throughout these years. Go get this shit done. Like, and nothing is stopping me because I don't care what you got to say. I ain't. All right, yeah. Cool. Yeah, feel that. All right, that's good. All right, yeah. I'm still gonna go do what the fuck I want to do, and I'll make this shit work. And you can't tell me that I can't.
Yeah.
Like, I know. Yeah, no, I went off for a little bit. My bad. But I know a lot of people I know a lot of people been preaching that, like, oh, this my year. This, you know, this for me. Da da da. But I really feel that, bro. Like, this not like the rest of my life. Like, I've lived a lot of life for y'all. You get what I'm saying? And that may be family. That may be friends. That may be teachers. That may be counselors. That may be whoever. I lived a lot of life for y'all. You get what I'm saying? At this point, I'm not living no more life for y'all. I want to do these things to make y'all happy, you know, make y'all proud of me. But at this point, bro, I'm doing everything that I want to do for me. I can't hold myself back no more.
Hey, no, that's a sermon, bro. You was just preaching. Yeah. It's so many things I could touch on, but you really explained everything well. Like you said, we talked before, so we align in a lot of those feelings, but I think it's interesting that you mentioned, like, not feeling like not being the same person that you were at 18, which I feel like a lot of people say that, right? And I feel like it's probably the case for most people. But I think when you break that down, bro, like the amount of versions of myself in between 18 and now is what I look at too. Cause it's like, yeah, 18 was 1 year, and you look at that because 18 is another benchmark. But I also look at me at like 22. After undergrad, or like 23, because I graduated closer to 23. And I look at like 23 to 25 as a certain like version of myself. You know what I'm saying? Then like 25, low key to 27, I would say it was like, you know, I won't say it was too many multiple versions, but they was all still like in the same context of at least what I was going through or where life was for me at the time.
Yeah.
But like you said, I think that the succession aspect is interesting because I think we will both agree that age doesn't dictate that mindset or that maturity level or that thought process. But I feel like a lot of people say the same thing for this age range. But even to kind of, you know, go off of more how you talked about that for yourself.
It was crazy because when I turned 25, I had been doing qualified for like 4 or 5 months. That was like my first kind of like comeback. That was the most consistent I had been with it. And when I hit 25, in my mind, I was like, oh, I done broke through this wall. I done kind of got through this self-imposed barrier. You know, I kind of felt like I saw for myself. And I thought 25 was going to be the year. Like, I thought that was like the me year, you know, type of deal. And I always talk about that year because that year taught me all the lessons I wanted to learn, just not in the way that I thought I was going to learn them. Like, it was way more humbling than it was, like, I don't want to say it wasn't rewarding, but it was way more humbling than it was this high of, like, everything is going my way. Everything I sought out to learn, I learned. Like, and everything I sought out in a sense of growth happened, but it was almost like, it was like I kind of got hurt and kind of got, I won't say chopped down, but like I got broke down in the process of learning, growing those things, as opposed to kind of being built up, you know, in the same sense. But I needed it. And I needed it because it also allowed for 26 to be a true year of a reflection and a true year of, like, it was a lot of times I told myself, like, yeah, bro, you down there. Like, this is a low. Like, you there. Like, let's acknowledge that first.
But in reality, like, you're able to look at it now and realize that it wasn't a low. You got everything that you needed to get. It just didn't come in the form that you thought that it was going to come due to expectation of Absolutely. How you thought it was going to come.
Absolutely. And I would even say I say it's a low, and I don't have a problem defining it as a low because I mean there are lows and higher lives. So I say low, acknowledging that like it's a moment where I didn't feel confident. I wasn't confident in things that I normally was, which was extremely frustrating. I wasn't confident in expressing myself. I wasn't confident in any content I was making. I wasn't confident in any ideas I was having. And like you said, it was very much like people not, you know, responding, or people not, you know, I'm not getting the feedback, or people seem to be confused. Yeah. People can't make sense of what I'm trying to do or what I want to do. And it's frustrating because I don't know if it's me not explaining it right. I don't know if the idea is horrible. But then, like you said, it's also very much like, who are y'all? Respectfully, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, who are y'all, bro? And it's more so like, who are y'all to say that this idea that don't make sense to you, like, isn't something that I can take and do exactly what I want to do with it? And just in life in general, like, whether that come with like relationships, friendships. And I think that was like a big part of 26 for me too, was navigating losing a lot of relationships and friendships that, I mean, shit, I thought was going to be around. Like, I thought that, you know, I thought these certain friends, or, you know, certain relationships, like, I thought that was going to be an aspect of my life, like, for the foreseeable future. And then not being that in a time where you kind of start to plan around those like people and things and relationships and ideas, it was like a really, really hard reset that wasn't expected, nor did it really feel like a choice that I made for me. And essentially, yeah, bro, that was just a huge part of like what 26 was. And I think that was also a huge part of me like getting to that place of like, nah, bro, nothing and no one, like, is getting in my way of doing the things that literally, like, I go to sleep thinking about, that I wake up thinking about, like, that I think about throughout my day. Like, no longer are people dictating what I do with those thoughts, like, what I do with my energy in regards to those thoughts. So, it's a lot, if you allow yourself to, and if you feel like you at a place where you can, it's a lot of deep reflection, a lot of, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Soul searching. Like that you can do. But once you kind of reach that mountaintop or get into a place where you kind of content and comfortable and like, yeah, I took that one on the chin. We good though. Or yeah, suck if that happened, but you know, we straight, we moving on. Like once you really good in that place, world really your oyster, bro. And I feel like a lot of people feel like they there, but they not really there. Or it's really, really short lived because they got there based on pushing it, but like a faulty foundation in the sense of whatever may have been a reason for, you know, doing that soul searching or whatever the case may be. If it's not for you, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree, bro. I feel like, different to you, I feel like you was like, I know you had said, like, who are these people? Or like, what do they matter? Or whatever. See, for me, my journey was a little bit different. See, the people I had to stop listening to, or the things I had to like realize about myself, was more family oriented. It was tough. Yeah, definitely tough. It's like, all right, these people tell me I'm good, you know, I'm smart, you know, I could do this, that, and the third, but then I have these things that I want to do, and I don't feel any support, or I don't see any support behind the things that I want to pursue, or the things that I want to do, or the things that I have ideas about that I could, you know, write down a script and tell you how I'm gonna make it work. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But there's no like, oh yeah, it's just, oh, when you become a millionaire, you know, you buy me a house. When you get rich, buy me a car. When you help me be able to do that. Like,
not for real, man.
Like, okay, you just talking, like you just blowing smoke at me for real. Like you telling me I'm great. I'm giving you ideas and you're not supporting them. So how are you really telling me I'm great? Do you really believe in me? Which then causes you to question yourself. It's like, damn, am I smart? Like, damn, I'm doing all these things and I feel like they're the right things, but then I got you telling me to pursue certain things. And it's like, how the fuck are you telling me to do anything or pursue anything when you didn't pursue none of the shit that you telling me to pursue? Now, at that point, it's like, at that point, it's like, what are you talking to me about? And this is no diss to like any family members or anything that told me that, but it's hard for me to take advice or take words from certain people where it's like, you're giving me advice about what to do with life, and your life is not better than what my life is currently. And I'm younger than you. So how am I supposed to take that advice? I had to realize that shit. Like, I had to realize, like, bro, you've been listening to a lot of people that aren't even in a position that you would want to be in. Why are you listening to them? Like, and that's tough because it may be appearance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it may be appearance sometimes. It may be that aunt or that uncle. It may be big sis, big bro that you've been seeing, like, keep falling on their ass, keep falling on their face, keep being in these different situations. Like, damn, probably going through some bullshit. Like, damn, my mom's be struggling to pay these bills, or, you know, whatever the case is. And it's like, but that's the person that's giving you advice 9 times out of 10. And that's the person that you're listening to. And I'm not saying that that's always the case in that scenario that they're giving bad advice. But a lot of the times it's hard for the kid to be in that position where he needs to be supported, but he's not supported in the correct way. So then he's like, how do I believe in myself? Now, luckily for me, I was able to break through that barrier and like, all right, bro, like, you just got to put, like, because y'all been gave me the support. You know what I'm saying? My friends been telling me I was great. Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? But when I got family telling me to pursue other things or do other things, and my friends is being supportive, it's like, all right, that's a battle. Then, you know, I transitioned. I basically made y'all niggas my family. You know what I'm saying? Like, family dinners, I'm Thanksgiving, y'all pull up in my crib. I'm Christmas dinner, y'all pull up in my crib. Because it's like, it ain't fuck my family. I love my family. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, like, I had to separate myself to be okay with the growth that I was going through. Yeah. Like, in order to become the person that I needed to be, I needed to separate myself from my family, because that's a bunch of doubt and I didn't need that energy. Like, I needed to as much belief and trust and faith and all of that behind the ideas that I had and behind anything that I wanted to do, so that I completely believed it, basically. Like, I tricked myself into believing myself, basically. Like,
that's hella tough, bro. And it's always difficult when it's family, like, or just people close to you, because you want and you feel, you didn't say this, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I imagine you could feel obligated, you know, with people that are family or feel like family, to listen, to feel like you're supposed to be taking heed to what they saying. But the reality is, bro, like you said, like, I don't even think that it come down to like family not having your best interest at heart per se. I just feel like when you're talking about a different generation, and I think that plays a role in it, but when you talk about a different generation, when you're talking about people that, even when it comes to parents or when it just comes to an authority figure, like, they feel like that in itself, like, that distinction in itself is enough to where you supposed to follow or do whatever they say.
And it's like, we a certain level of understanding, for sure.
Yeah. And it's like, we just in a different time. Like, we in a time where your typical route of graduate with this 4-year degree and go get this job and stay there for X amount of years, like, we just, that's not how the world is now.
You got people with 4-year degrees working at McDonald's.
You feel me? You got people that didn't go to school doing great, you know, in all aspects, financially, whatever the case may be. So it's just like, I think that there needs to be, and I think for a lot of people, and what I have learned, at least in conversations like with family members that I feel like could fall into that category as well.
Yeah.
I will say that I don't think there's always bad intentions. I think that for some people, especially when you're talking about that generation, at least from where like my mom and my auntie are from, like, it always comes down to stability. Like, in their mind, it's not so much that they don't believe that you can do something or don't want you to do what makes you happy, but they don't want that to happen at the expense of you having stability in life, which I get and can respect. But in the same breath, it's also like, but you also got to let, like, if I'm gonna fall on my ass, you gotta let me fall on my ass. Cause I'd rather fall on my ass in like en route to like doing something that I want to do and something I'm passionate about, knowing that I'm learning to not make the same mistakes and something I want to do forever.
Yeah.
Then to be applying that system shit I don't even see myself doing in a year or two, or that I don't even want to be doing in this current time. And so there's definitely a balancing act with that. And I think this is a balancing act in this whole adulting thing that we're like talking about in general. I mean, you kind of touched on it, but do you feel like it's anything additional in terms of like how you manage that balancing act, like how you manage the ups and downs of like, okay, like I know this about myself, but I'm hearing this and I can acknowledge that I kind of need to remove this or change how this is making me feel.
So like you were just saying, as far as like the stability thing, like for me, it wasn't really like I heard and respected that, like that it was their idea of stability, basically. Right. Like you need to work a 9-to-5 because you need to pay your bills, because you're going to have bills and the 9-to-5 will help you pay the bills. Like it's very, you know, black and white, 1 + 1 = 2 type shit with them. So like for me, it was like, bro, with the stability that you're talking about ain't even stable to me.
Facts.
So it's like if I'm gonna be in that position by doing these things and that's still not even good, that's not scratching the surface for real, why don't I just do what the fuck I do, struggle and make it out of it type shit? You get what I'm saying? Like
if I'm gonna struggle regardless, I might as well at least struggle and be happy in what I'm doing.
Exactly.
Then I'm making my way to this 9-to-5, but like I'm angry every day going to the 9-to-5, or just
I'm at pissed, work, pissed.
Or uninterested. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? I just feel like, bro, like that's the part too, is it's like I don't think like when they're making that statement of stability, and I feel like the comment is always, oh, you just gotta do what you gotta do. And then that turns into a whole nother conversation of like, oh, y'all just need to grow up, and this what being an adult is. No,
I don't have any kids.
No, that's
I don't have any kids, so I got free range to do whatever the fuck I want to do until I have a kid.
Facts, and I don't like that argument, because it's like I don't think that somebody not like I don't think somebody not wanting to do something they're not interested in means they're not an adult. I'm not saying that doesn't mean that there will be situations where you have to do things that you don't want to do. I'm not trying to make it seem like that's not a reality. But in the same breath, it's like, there comes a breaking point where it's like, yeah, but would you rather, like I was having a talk with moms, this had to be maybe like a couple months ago. And it's funny because, so like I, you know, me and moms are talking every day. And I think I mentioned, like this was like a Thursday night. And I mentioned that I was like, yeah, I think I'm gonna take off tomorrow. And I said I was gonna be a mental health day, and I was serious. Like I know sometimes people, you know, use that and it don't be the case, you know. And I know we got different definitions for mental health. I ain't judging nobody. I'm just saying. But no, I told her, I was like, nah, like I'm really really tired this week, and I can feel myself like being tired on top of like the job being a job. Like mentally, like I do need a little bit of a reset, and I don't know. I don't really call things with moms an argument. We just be disagreeing and be having it out, you know, like a little back and forth. But she was, you know, her generation, her, you know, her time, that's not a thing. Mental health days, like taking off work because you not good or whatever. Like, that's not a thing. That you got to work. Like, I got to go make money.
And I'm like, well, one, I'm getting paid for the day. So that's one thing. I'm not losing money. But two, in the same breath, it's also like, if we could have a whole separate conversation about like office environment and culture and the fact that a lot of people in offices don't even need to be in there in the first place. But that's not the conversation we have today. The point is that conversation with her, it just showed the difference in like the approach to things like that. Because for me, I'm not necessarily thinking twice, like, yo, if I need a day, like, and I have it, then take the day. Like, that don't change nothing about my approach to the job. Like, my desire to be professional, like that don't change nothing. But for them, they really look at it as like, to some degree, their first instinct is, oh, that's lazy. Or, oh, what does that look like if you're taking these days? And I'm like, I don't really care what it look like. They my days. They dictate everything else. If I want to take a day, you know, I can take a day. But I think that that can creep into other conversations when we start talking about at our age, you know, what, how we define stability, like how we define happiness, the levels that we'll go to say, yeah, it's a means to an end, but also like, I don't want a means to an end to be at the expense of, I guess, my peace, to wrap all those other like emotions in one. But, and I don't think that they'll ever, I don't know if like from a generation standpoint, like, you know, from parents to children, and your average gap, obviously, I don't think that that, those mindsets are gonna like come together or be closer anytime soon, you know, but I definitely think they play a huge role in the things you talked about in terms of those relationships and having to navigate them once you get to a certain point of like, yeah, like I love you. Like it ain't got nothing to do with love, but I just can't have that energy. I can't have that affecting like my mental space, because that's a real thing. Like the things people say to you, the things people speak, you know, unto you even, you know, sometimes like it plays a role. And like, even if it's a matter of like, oh, I don't care, like, or they not dictating what you do, I think people would be lying if they said it wasn't something that set with them to some degree. I'm not saying resonated to the sense of defining what you do, but it don't always go in one ear and out the other, especially depending on who's coming.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that it affects you, like, for sure, depending on who is coming from. And shit, that shit can be detrimental. I think it could even lead to like bigger issues mentally. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can cause anxiety, which is another thing I wanted to talk about, bro. Like, which is, I think it's a topic that's been coming up more often, like people being anxious, like a lot of celebrities dealing with it and not being able to be in certain public settings. Like social anxiety is what is usually like the capacity that is usually referred to. But like anxiety, bro, I'm going to go ahead and just start with the definition. Anxiety is the mind and body's reaction to stressful, dangerous, or unfamiliar situations. It's the sense of uneasiness, distress, or dread you feel before a significant event. Certain level of anxiety helps us stay alert and aware, but for those that are suffering from an anxiety disorder, it feels far from normal. It can be completely debilitating. So, yeah, bro. So, first off, think you experience some anxiety, bro?
Bro, all the time. And like we talked about it a little bit earlier off screen, but yeah. I think it was a while before I even realized that that's what it is. And I think that because anxiety can take so many different forms and it's so tied into other things like depression, probably more recognizable is it being associated with depression. But yeah, bro, I've definitely experienced anxiety before. Hell, I experienced anxiety leaving work today. You know what I'm saying? It was so funny after us kind of talking this afternoon. It was so funny kind of experience it, because I'm at a place now where it's I can identify it, I can acknowledge it, and I kind of know what it is, and I know for me what helps navigate it. But yeah, bro, it happens more often than I wanted to admit at a certain point in time. And it felt like a flaw. Like before I really got to a point where I kind of accepted how natural it is and how common it is, it just felt like a flaw. It felt like, what does it mean that this is kind of making you feel so out of body, feel so uncomfortable, like so unsure? What has that much power? I think that was like the scary part that made it seem like, bro, something has to be wrong with you if this is making you feel this way. And that's not the case at all, you know, but I think everybody has their own journey of like navigating what their anxiety is triggered by, what works for them in regards to, you know, like, you know, calming yourself down and things of that nature, and then how you kind of manage it and even anticipate it, you know, moving forward. But what have your experiences with anxiety been like when you feel like you kind of identify what it was for you?
I'm gonna say, first of all, I am self-diagnosed like high anxiety. Like, I think I have very high anxiety. But no, I started to notice it like not too much longer after I was diagnosed with IBS. So like I went through that whole process of finding out, had the colonoscopies, the endoscopies, all that shit. And they gave me some medicine afterwards, and I took the medicine for a couple of like weeks or whatever. And like it was like basic shit, like some inflammatories, like it wasn't nothing like too hard or whatever. But anyway, like just like I started to get anxious about the ability to be able to like, go properly, like just make sure everything was straight type shit. So that was like the first like knocker. So like then it's like in life, I just started to get like social anxiety. Like, oh, I don't like, damn, bro. Like, I don't know if I want to go there, because it's like, what if I have to go? Like, I might have to go to the bathroom. So bathroom oriented shit is how the anxiety first started.
Gotcha.
But then like I figured all that shit out, if you're straight, I'm good now. But outside of that, bro, like it was like, oh, I can't, like I don't feel comfortable, bro. Like you never know. Like I started to get like paranoid. Like so like the anxiety started to cause like paranoia. So it was like, no, bro, I can't go there, bro. Some shit might go left, like this person and da da da. Like I started to get like real, like, and then in those situations I get like, all right, I'm looking around constantly, like I'm uncomfortable. I'm in the club looking around, like, what the fuck, man? All right, who the fuck is, like everything that move, I'm just looking like, yeah, like what the fuck, like, yeah. But I'm so like, so that was like the first two things. So now it's developed into like, I'm just overly fucking stressing. Like, oh, none of that shit is a problem anymore. But now I'm just overly fucking stressing. So it's like, nigga, one stress is a ripple effect into like the, I don't fucking know, the quantum fucking, but like one inkling of stress, bro, and it's all of these other things. Then I get super hot. Then next thing you know, like it gets bad, bro. Like my worst episode, like it's probably been like I think I was stressed out about a bill, and like I was gonna get the bill paid. But I was still in the process of like waiting on some money or something like that. And like I knew I was gonna get the bill paid. And the bill wasn't due like for like another couple of days. But like the fact that I had the bill due and the money wasn't like in my hand yet, it was just like I got super hot, bro. Next thing you know, I'm on the floor. Next thing you know, like I'm damn near heaving, like I gotta throw up. Like it went all the way through that. Like I'm tweaking, bro. Like, and it's like, yeah, no. But now I realize, like, oh, in certain moments, like, I have to calm down. Like, I like, and I keep saying, I know I'm stuttering a lot, but this is my first time really talking about this shit. So it's like, I'm just going through it all to really, like, pull out certain things that I know for sure that I have to do. But for me, it's like, bro, I just really have to calm down. And that may be sitting, listening to music, like, just sitting, listening to music, just driving sometimes. Like sometimes I just need to just drive. And it's crazy. And I shouldn't be doing this. And I'm not promoting this. Don't do this. Like, I'm not promoting this. Don't do this at all. But like, bro, sometimes I'll be having a drive, bro, and just close my eyes while rolling, like while driving. And I'm not saying like at a crazy fast pace or nothing like that. Like, I ain't trying to escape like life and have like a outer body experience and nothing like that. I'm not saying that. But like, whatever, some like that, for some reason, it's the only time I can really like just breathe for some reason. It's like it's weird, I know, but I'm driving, I just close my eyes, inhale, exhale, and that shit helps a lot. Deep breaths help a lot in general. And just focusing on something else that's not like stressful helps a lot. Shit, eating. But don't eat your stress away. But yeah, no, bro. What are some things that help you?
Yeah, man. No, first off, definitely thank you for opening up. I know for us talking and me hearing it is a little bit more common. Like it don't surprise me, but definitely for y'all watching, like this is what this is for. So like we will be this open, but I'm just happy, you know, that he, you know, felt comfortable enough even talking about some of the things, knowing like, you know, that some of y'all was gonna hear it. But yeah, bro, I would say for me, it's funny because literally, bro, like Bills, I promise you, they gotta be stressed. They gotta be stressed for everybody because it'll be the same shit, bro. Like I'm going through, like I get Paige, and I'm going through, like, all right, you know, what I gotta take care of, you know, in the next, you know, 2 weeks type deal, whatever the case may be. And I just be sitting there like, bro, like, I either take care of everything and have nothing until the next time I get paid, or I could try to finesse to see if there's a cushion somewhere. But either way, it's just like, bro, like, it's just not, and I don't even want to say comfortable because it ain't about comfortability per se. But the shit is so frustrating because it'd be different if I didn't know how to take care of myself and what I need to do to take care of my business. But knowing what I have to do and literally not being able to, like you said, it creates this level, like, bro, like, I just start going into panic mode because I'd be trying to think of, like, all right, what can I do? Like, I swear I'd be going for 30 minutes, I'll just be like, all right, where can I get $150 from? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the quickest way? How much time I need? You know, how many days I need to drive Uber or something? Or hoops? You know, which, you know, who can I go ask? You know, throw me some a little bit and I hit them back. Whatever. Something.
But it, at the same time, within it also be like, and something that just helps me with stress in general is like you said, bro, just take a minute. Like, literally just take a minute and sit there. Like, just be still. And sometimes I had to stop myself like, bro, you fucking, like, these bills ain't going nowhere and ain't no more money coming in, bro. So just relax for a minute. Like, you know, sit back and just figure out what makes the most sense. And it may not be ideal. You know, like, you may want to just go through everything and be good, but that may not make sense for you. And it's okay. Like, you'll figure it out. You still here. Like, you figured it out last month. You figured it out 2 weeks ago when you got paid. You can do the same thing again. So definitely just taking that minute to just sit back and relax. I know for me, I'm quick to run to a gym and get some shots up. I'm quick, throw some music on and just shoot or just dribble. But sometimes I just go and I don't play music and just the sounds in the gym. Like, as weird as it may be, like shoes screeching, like the ball bouncing, like all of that. Like, it's calming. Like, it brings me to
one of them weird niggas that play 2K with the music off, bro. But the court volume up.
I don't know how many people do that because that is kind of strange. But if that's your thing, that's your thing. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, bro. I think that's probably like the biggest way that I do it. Like, I've definitely gotten to a place where like I just try to take a step back, like literally just be still for a minute, bro. Just like, wait, just like, yes, you have all these things you're thinking about. Take some time because you automatically. I know I go into it kind of with. It like making it a high pressure situation before I even look at anything. Like, I'm just looking at getting paid. Like, damn, all right. I know the majority of this shit about to, you know, go to whatever. I already kind of stressed myself out before I even see numbers. You know what I'm saying? So just taking a step back and doing that. And I don't know. I think I've only had one, maybe two anxiety attacks that I feel like were genuine, like, full level, like you said, kind of like bodily reactions, but they both been social. They've both been social, and they both had to do with being in spaces where I felt uncomfortable because I didn't know, like, in a way, I didn't trust, like, the vibes around me. Like, I didn't trust what I was feeling around me. It just felt like fake. Like, it felt weird, and that made me very like uneasy, and just like, not like you, like you said, how you was in the club, like it was in the same breath of like, yeah, I ain't trying to give too much, I ain't trying to show too much because I don't really know what's going on here, but something just feel off. I'm not trying to deal with whatever people might be on. Like, you just don't know, and that really was. That really was a thing, and I remember being so thrown off by it, like, because I was actually on a flight, like, going somewhere, and that's kind of where it started. And I remember just shooting moms a text, like, "Yeah, I don't really know what this feeling is, but I'm just kind of feeling I mean, I think I said anxious, but I'm like, I don't know. I'm just feeling kind of like I'm really anxious though, like to the point where like I'm uncomfortable, you know, type anxious. Mm-hmm. And you know, she did her mom thing, and you know, she gave me a couple scriptures, and you know, spoke her piece and got me right. But yeah, bro, no, it's a real thing. Do you think that? Because obviously, like, you know, a lot of people, you know, regardless of race, you know, gender, all of that, deal with anxiety. But for us as black men, and I don't want to say young, you know, per se, but just as black men in this space. Young, bro. I mean, we young. I ain't saying old, but like, I wasn't trying to specify. But I mean, young in the sense of like us being at our age and even being able to acknowledge and have a conversation of anxiety the way I don't feel like a lot of, you know, men our age might. What is the role of being a black man? Like, what is that role within anxiety for you? Or have you made a correlation? Is there one to
For me, it's like I have my own personal anxieties. I can't start to break down the level of anxieties built off of society. If that's the way to say that, I don't know. But yeah, like I can't get to break that down because it's like some of those things play a factor. You know what I'm saying? Like in my own anxiety, I guess, because it's like the club situation is like, why am I looking around and shit like that? Why do I think somebody might be on some other shit? But that's based off of the news. You know what I'm saying? That's based off of headlines. That's based off of shit, me actually seeing it at the same time too, because I done been in the club where it got shot up. So it's like, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's how it kind of plays a part in my life. Like, okay, the things that I see on the news, the things that I, like, the headlines that I read, the news feed on Twitter, like, those things can cause, not cause, but I think those can, like, increase or influence your, my own anxiety, at least.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that. I think that I don't think any of my personal anxieties per se have anything specific to do with, you know, like me being black. I do think sometimes anxieties come from pressures that I feel from being a man, and the role or the expectation of what that role means or what it's supposed to be from a societal standpoint. So being anxious about like, oh, if I'm not, you know, able to provide in a particular way, or if I'm not able to present a particular way that is the stereotypical way that the male is supposed to present, to mean that, you know, he deserves this, or to mean that he should be getting this, or that this is what he should be doing. I think that has played a role for me in some situations. I don't think that is something that can't be remedied. I feel like I'm in the process of remedying it. But I think it's small. I just brought it up because I feel like if it's something that's not addressed, and I think it just goes back to what we talked about before in terms of how men just handle things. I think if you're not talking about your anxiety, I think if you're not acknowledging or realizing that that's something that you may be dealing with, then it starts to rear its head in certain ways that may be more applicable to or more specific to, like, being a man or being a black man in that regard. So I think it just has more to do with where you are personally in recognizing or acknowledging if you have anxiety, how you deal with it, and yeah, like, you know, what triggers it. But
I'm like, for sure. Because for me, I'm like, bro, like, I would agree with what you said towards the end as far as not really having personal like attachments to it, you know, due to like society or whatever. But at the same time, like society's expectations, I guess. Like, and yeah. I wouldn't say the same thing as far as like financial, because for me, as far as provide, like, I don't know, like I probably look at that shit differently than how you look at that shit. Like as far as like what it looks like.
Yeah. How you look
like for me, provide, I'm like, I'm the type of nigga where I'm type of man. I ain't even gonna say nigga. I'm type of man where, like, in a situation where I need to provide for a woman, I'm going to do exactly that. Like, And it's not even, it's in a sense of she doesn't know how much I have.
Yeah.
Because she's never not had whatever she needed from me. And shit, on some real shit, I'm like, if I'm really rocking with you there, I don't think there's a level to where I won't go. You get what I'm saying? As far as like providing. Like, tell me everything that you need. All right, I'm gonna go get that. You get what I'm saying? Now, if you start to add on where shit is I'm going, it's like, all right, my nigga, like, yo, like, but yo, it's like,
wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, everything that you tell me that you need from me, I can provide if you give me the time, the chance, and the opportunity. But at the same time, it's like, don't, I hate when I get put in situations where I feel like, because I feel like, well, that's my understanding of it. I feel like your understanding is more so like, as a man, you have to provide for your woman. And it's sometime at the neglect of you.
Yes, that has been my experience.
Exactly. Exactly. For me, I'll neglect myself.
Yeah. You feel like you always been like that?
Yeah.
You have.
Bro, I pretty much have always been like that. Like it don't matter, bro. Like if I'm really rocking with Shorty, like, bro, I got you. There's not a question. Like, and there's like, and I'm not saying that's always a good thing. Like, for sure, I'm not recommending that, but I know that's how I am. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, I'll be like, all right, yeah, nah, bro. I'm good. Like, oh, you want to go? Like, you need to eat? All right, I got some shit in the refrigerator. Oh yeah, for sure. How much is your meal? I'm gonna send you this dub real quick. You know what I'm saying? Not knowing, like, not now. We're not talking about now. But there's been times. There's been times where it's like, should I send you my last 20 for you to eat?
Yeah.
I'm about to eat this bowl of cereal for the night and shit. Hopefully tomorrow, I could try to finesse a meal out of somewhere type shit. Like, I ain't about to be begging nobody for no food, but I'm gonna make some shit work. You don't even know about it. And then tomorrow I'm also gonna take you out to dinner, show up with flowers and all this. And it's like, you don't know everything that I just did to go through all of this. Like, that's my idea of provide. It's like, you don't have to know everything that I did to get it, but you just have to receive what I'm giving you to receive type shit. Like,
for sure. Yeah. I don't really disagree with that. And I still have the same outlook as far as provide. I just think that I've been challenged to probably lean into that more and be more confident in providing and in not being defined solely either one, like by financially, or just understanding like what you provide with who I am, like who I am. If I'm looking at the type of man that I am, right? I feel like there's no comparison, but I just feel like if I provide certain things, like I would like to consider myself emotionally mature. I don't feel like I'm reaching by saying that. I feel like I'm in tune with myself and stuff. So I've noticed that's something that is not a guarantee for anyone, male or female. Like, that's not a guarantee. So sometimes that in itself is providing some sort of foundation or comfort for somebody who's still learning that, or for somebody who's still trying to figure out like their.
Can I say
which? Like, can you say that you're providing that for somebody else when you're in a relationship? You know what I'm saying?
So I'm not providing them with. I'm not providing them with emotional maturity, right?
Yeah.
Me bringing emotional maturity is providing them a space. If they're somebody who is trying to work on that, or who has acknowledged that they want to get better with that, having a partner that is there that knows how to respond to their kind of up and down and navigating that, I think that can be beneficial. Depending on who the two parties are, obviously.
No, for sure. We going off on a tangent, but I don't care. The conversation's good. Fucking so like I felt like that before. So you know how like I have the thing where like I'm not raising no more females, right? You know, that's like my saying type shit. Like I'm not raising no more females.
What'd you say? We're not your fathers.
Exactly, bro. Like we're not your dads, bro. I'm not doing that. That's like my thing. But no, bro, like what you just said made me think about that in the sense of you saying, like at first you saying you trying to provide that or whatever, and then you cleaned it up and said like you're not providing that, but like
bringing it to the table,
but in that sense it's like raising hoes, like because they are like, and
I see the correlation. Because exactly. So you're saying that it's raising because it's not something that is also being brought from the other party. So if I'm setting a standard, if you will, of this is how mm-hmm. I would like us to communicate, it's still raising in a sense.
Because they're not there. So you'll reach situations where there's a misunderstanding. You're trying to have a conversation. This person doesn't want to talk. Yeah. All right, how are we supposed to deal with the conversation? How are we supposed to deal with the situation if we don't talk it out? Then you become frustrated. You get what I'm saying? And it's like, okay, I want to talk to you. I'm not trying to have a negative talk, you know, about this subject, but we need to talk about this subject, you know, so that we can get the situation dealt with and it can be out of the way and then we can move on with our lives.
Yeah,
this could be a stubborn person, or it could also be the situation where they want to argue. You know what I'm saying? Or it could be a situation where maybe they leave.
They may shut down. Yeah, they may shut down.
They may leave. They may shut down. They may argue. So then, when it gets to that, it's this is how this shit should be. Or it gets down to a point where you're in a position like, yo, this is, and it's like. In a way, you kind of have to. In a way, and on the other hand, they don't understand it. You get what I'm saying? Like,
so the providing and so they, at that point, yeah, the providing is pointless. You're not really providing shit if it's not.
You're not providing shit.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's spicy, bro, and that's real because, and that also makes it. I think that plays a role, and for me, I think that part of it because like that has happened. Like you know, really? Like, that has happened. So it's like, but that produces an anxiety because it's like. Fuck, like I don't know what else, like if the shit that I feel like I bring as a man because of who I am, whether that be from, you know, how I'm into my emotions to the point where I'm able to have conversations and willing to talk shit out because not everybody is like that, or you know, from a standpoint of, you know, I've had my experiences, so I also would like to think I know how to manage a relationship, at least from my end, like manage in the sense of I'm not finna trip off the first argument. I'm not finna blow up about A, B, and C, like small stuff like that that goes into, you know, having to manage with another person. If all that is only dependent on, and I think that just goes into your, it's dependent on the person's willingness to either maintain that with you or get there, like meet you at some point.
Yeah.
If we've acknowledged that they're
otherwise it kind of reaches to the point of selfishness. Like for real, it's selfish to be with somebody, raising somebody basically while you're with them and them not being able to be at the same level that you're at emotionally or intellectually, but emotionally for the most part. Like, well, I can't do it. And that's why I be saying like, I can't do it. Like, because that's too draining. Not only do I have to battle the emotions that I'm feeling within myself, you know, if I'm feeling like whatever I'm feeling just based off of the day, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then it's like, I love this person. I want to be around her. Then it's okay. Like your energy is weird, but I can't even have that conversation with you about your energy being weird. So now I feel weird about your energy feeling weird, but I just got to feel fucking weird. So now I'm in this situation where I just feel trapped for real. But I love you. You get what I'm saying? But then it gets to the point where love just isn't enough. You get what I'm saying? You have to walk away from that situation. But like a lot of scenarios be like, bro, like we're not helping each other. Like, some people, and I don't mean niggas be in these situations too, where they be raised by women. A lot of women are providing things for niggas, for real.
Absolutely.
A lot of women, and I don't mean that just in a financial standpoint, emotionally too. I mean, shit, financially for sure. A lot of these niggas are getting taken care of by women. Like, that PS5, niggas did not pay for. That car, niggas did not pay for. Ain't even his. It's really hers. But
look, the PS5, low key, you get a pass. A car, though, I just, not that it matters. Not that my say so means anything. You know, my two cents don't mean shit. But the context will be interesting, because it's one thing if, like, you know, you and
Shirley, I mean, pimping is pimping. You feel me? If you're pimping, I respect it.
But not, you know, even what I'm saying? Pimping. Not even pimping. If you and Shorty locked in for L, and like that's just where y'all at, where like you done provided enough for her where Shorty want to cop you a whip, more power to you, bro. I'm just saying that's not often the case.
Yeah, that's, I'm like, that's not the case. A lot of these niggas is bums. I ain't gonna lie. A lot of these niggas is living off of fucking females and hobosexuals and all type of shit. See, this ain't the women bashing podcast, y'all.
Not
y'all
at all.
Expect
not at all. Like,
we bash niggas too.
We bash niggas too. Look, we for equality over here. You feel me?
No bullshit.
Yeah, but no, something you were saying earlier, and it probably could be the last one on anxiety, low key. But something you were saying earlier, you mentioned, what was the point? You mentioned your reaction to, or your response to, you know, like dealing with everything you just deal with throughout the day to day, and your emotions with that, on top of, you know, if you come home and then like, oh, energy is weird or whatever the case may be. So with the anxiety piece, I think that's more so what I was trying to get at, is that as men, and then also as Black men, it's like you posted whatever you dealt with during the day, you handle that and do whatever with that. And then when you get home to Shorty, it's like, yeah, fuck kind of how your day was. It's all about her now. And I say that loosely, because obviously that all depends on relationship, and every relationship look different, and people are different, all of that. But I think that, at least for me, I feel like that's produced anxiety before, because it's been that exact situation that you described, where it's been like, man, like my day has been shit, right? But I don't get a, and not that I want to sit in it, but I don't get a chance to just let my day be shit and be able to vent if I gotta also go and then like, oh, now you still need me to do A, B, C, and D. But she don't even know. I done already went through the whole damn alphabet through my day, tired as hell. I don't have it. you know what I'm saying?
A lot of niggas can't even experience bad days.
Yeah.
In a relationship.
Or we feel like we can't. You know what I'm saying?
We feel like
we don't have room to.
No, bro. I feel like a lot of niggas can't. Like, just being completely honest, I'm like, because I felt on multiple, like in multiple relationships, that I can't have a bad day. Like, one, me having a bad day is gonna make you feel like, damn, this nigga don't never have a good day. Like, damn, he always irritated. Like,
niggas have a lot of bad days, bro. I ain't gonna hold you.
First of all, bitch, if I'm always irritated after work and I go to work every day, bitch, work is irritating. Yes, I'm gonna be irritated. Like, at 5 o'clock every day, you could just expect me to be irritated. It might be the one chance I'm like, you know, one of the bosses bring in fucking lunch or something like that. So then I'm having a good fucking day and I leave with some positive fucking energy. But for the most part, yes, I'm going to be upset. Like, I'm going to be irritated. Maribel might have pissed me off today or something. I don't fucking know. You get what I'm saying? Like,
look, Marianne blew me earlier today, bro. Look, Marianne and Kate, okay? I don't got time for the bullshit, bro.
I'm saying, so it's that. Or it'd be the case of your girl piss you off. But now that you're irritated, now she's going to be irritated. Or now she wants to, have the negative, like, act sad. And it's like, damn, bitch, I can't even be sad. Like, what's wrong? What happened? Like, what are you dealing with? Because I'm mad, but I can't even be mad and experience the fact that I'm mad. Like, I can't even be mad. I have to check on you. So what's wrong? What do you need? What food do you want? You get what I'm saying?
Because why? Because why 75% of the time is it about food?
Bro, it ain't even, I don't think it's ever about food. I think food is a coping mechanism that just makes them feel some type of comfort. And I don't mean just them, because I feel it too. You know what I'm saying? Food is good. You know what I'm saying? I love food. But like, bro, it's really like I agree. Like, we in certain situations, we really can't experience emotion, especially when it's negative emotion. Shit, niggas can't even be happy for the most part. What you happy for? Nigga, what you smiling for? Like,
yeah, you acting different. You all
smiling. Oh, happy ass nigga. Okay, like, who the fuck got you cheesing? All right, I'll just walk around with a mug on my face.
Hey, no, look, listen, who the fuck got you cheesing? Look, my niggas just went crazy in fantasy. That's what got me cheesing. Okay, look, it be simple shit, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Like, niggas can't feel
my parlay. My thing. Parlay hit. Okay, my parlay hit. Damn it, that's why I'm cheesing. Are you happy? Yeah. But yeah, nah. I mean, that's real, bro. I mean, and wrapping up everything, I think we talk about adulting all the time, like just whenever we catch up. But I think that's a real thing, bro. And I think anxiety and navigating it is more than likely, at least I feel like it is, especially for our generation. And I don't want to limit it to that because everybody deals with it. But in this time, with all of us being in this time at this age, it's definitely a huge thing because I think this is where you learn, like, or ideally, this is where you learn how to get a hold of it. Because in my mind, for me, like, I'm not saying like I'm a curate, but I would like to get a hold on my anxiety. So as I progress in life, as more things start to come into play, more thing that's going to require more responsibility and attention from me, that it can be limited, you know, as much as possible. I would absolutely hate to be in a situation where whether it got to do with a kid, you know, God forbid I'm taking care of a parent or whatever the case may be, and I'm unable to do what I absolutely have to do because of anxiety. That's not to diminish it. That's not to take away from the power that anxiety, you know, holds over certain people or can hold. But if I have anything to say about it, if I have anything to do with it, I want to get to a place where I can limit it as much as possible. So when there's things I have to do, I don't have to see that as a limitation or an obstacle. And I don't know if that comes off weird or reads weird, you know, trying to be politically correct nowadays. But
like, shit. I mean, no, we don't mean no disrespect with anybody that like been diagnosed with anxiety and that, you know, struggles with it. We don't mean no disrespect to anybody like that. We're just saying that if we can't control it or get a grasp of it in any sort of way, we would like to have some type of control or grasp on that shit. And I think that's okay, because like, when you realize things are a problem, you're not supposed to just let them be a problem and, you know, run awry type shit. You're supposed to get some type of control, get some type of help, you know, try to make sure that you are running at your tip top shape. So shit, that was white as hell for me to say, but you know,
oh my God. It's okay, bro. It comes out a little bit, bro. Maribel.
No, it's the voice, bro. When I put on the politically correct voice, you know. But no,
the code switch be crazy.
Yeah.
Man, hey, bro. That's episode 3. We rolling. I ain't gonna hold you. I ain't gonna lie. We rolling.
Episode 3. Shit. Well, it's been real, y'all. I ain't gonna lie.
You feel me? Listen. Until next time, I don't even know what our next topic gonna be, but y'all better stay tuned. If y'all just now catching home, yeah, that's on y'all. But stay tuned. Thanks for everybody that checked in so far. Keep checking in with us. Let us know if y'all got topics y'all want us to touch on and talk about and things like that. But yeah, until next week, we'll catch y'all next time. Peace.